We heard Pakistan's President Musharraf there asserting that his military is fully up to the task of tracking down al-Qaeda fighters inside his country's borders. President Musharraf is still in the U.S., and we sat down with him today in Washington, D.C. at his hotel room to probe the question a bit further. He told us the war on terror is much larger than Osama bin Laden or even al-Qaeda as a whole.
Philosophically, I always say that fighting terrorism is fighting a tree. If you act against a number of terrorists, you arrest them and eliminate them, you are plucking the leaves of a tree. And if you act against an organization like Al-Qaeda and finish that organization off, you have maybe chopped off a branch of the tree, but you haven't got to the root of the tree. And the root of the tree is the political disputes. They must be settled because it is these political disputes which are generating a sense of hopelessness, powerlessness in people. And that leads them to these extreme measures of suicide bombing.
If I can stretch your gardening analogy, when you prune a tree, you make it stronger. Are you concerned that that's what's happened here?
To an extent, yes. To an extent, you're acting against these people without addressing the root cause, whether they get stronger or not, but more people are available because the root cause is not addressed.
The recent war in Iraq and the president's rhetoric when talking about Iraq and Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda in particular, when he says wanted dead or alive, when he says they wanted a war and they got one, as he did earlier this week, he's certainly playing to an American audience. But I wonder how those words and actions are greeted in the Middle East and in your part of the world.
Certainly, I wouldn't be able to say that they are greeted, they are welcomed. They have negative implications and negative fallout. So it has given, this situation has given rise to two things. One, feeling in the Muslim world that maybe Islam as a religion is being targeted. And a feeling on the other side in the developed world, in the United States, in the West, that Islam as a religion is an extremist religion. It preaches extremism, militancy. Both of these are wrong. If we want to change impressions of United States, I think political solutions to the issues confronting Muslims in a just manner are essential.
Your very presence here, and the fact that President Bush yesterday said that he will send Congress a $3 billion aid package, does that create a problem for you back home among Islamic groups who feel that you've gotten too close to the United States, who perhaps see or think that you're somehow beholden to President Bush?
Well, in certain extremist quarters, yes, this is what they propagate and they keep saying. But I believe that the way forward for the Islamic world is a way forward of enlightened moderation, as I keep saying. And the way forward is to analyze ourselves. Is it that we are going to progress and rise through a confrontationist approach, through a militant extremist approach? Or is it that we need to realize that we are the most backward, we are the most illiterate, we are the poorest? So therefore, we need to emancipate ourselves through concentrating on human resource development, through education, poverty alleviation, health, to emancipate ourselves and have create a better life for ourselves in this world and for the future.
Mr. President, you have denounced al-Qaeda's terrorist tactics, and you have denounced also the Taliban government in Afghanistan, which helped and in some cases harbored al-Qaeda operatives. But you supported the Taliban government before 9/11, and I'm wondering, in retrospect, do you have any regrets about that?
No. When you say you supported the Taliban government, we have diplomatic relations with India. That doesn't mean we support the Indian government. We fought wars with them. Now, as far as the Taliban are concerned, yes, we had diplomatic relations. We were the only ones who had diplomatic relations with them. It was a correct action of recognizing and having diplomatic contact with the Taliban. That didn't mean at all that we were not opposed to. We don't want that kind of government ever in Pakistan. We don't want a Talibanized Pakistan. And I was always against whatever they were doing in Afghanistan. I sent my emissaries to Afghanistan to tell them not to destroy the Buddha statue. Not once, I sent thrice, I sent my ministers. And I wrote my own personal letter to the to Mullah Omar, don't do it. So we were not at all supportive of what they were doing. We knew that they are most unenlightened. But we had diplomatic relations. That was our compulsion.
With the war in Iraq, the Bush administration introduced the doctrine of a preemptive strike against a hostile government that is thought to have weapons of mass destruction. This notion of a preemptive strike or a preemptive military action against a government without provocation, does that set an example for a government that can actually point to actual provocation? And I'm wondering if, given the tensions between India and Pakistan over Kashmir, if India might take a lead from this theory of preemptive action.
India would be sadly mistaken. We have a strategy of minimum deterrence in place. We have quantified that into level of forces. We maintain a level of forces which we think in the case of a confrontation, we will emerge victorious. So the situation is not at all that India can have a preemptive strike on us. They are sadly mistaken. They'll get a response that they could never expect at all. So here there is a balance of forces, and they better not try that at all. There can be a strike from our side which will be more debilitating than they can strike us.
An editorial in the Financial Times yesterday declared, "In no country are nuclear weapons more likely to fall into the hands of Muslim fanatics than in Pakistan. U.S. intelligence has identified Pakistan as the main supplier of nuclear weapons technology to North Korea. Has that exchange ended, or do you believe that Pakistan has the right to export its nuclear technology to whomever
it
pleases?"
Not at all. We are signatories, or we are part of the dialogue on all regimes, constrained nuclear or unconventional constrained regimes. We are a part of that. We have custodial control, total custodial controls of all our facilities, our nuclear and missile facilities. We have assured the world that we will never proliferate. Therefore, first of all, there are nuclear and missile assets, strategic assets falling into the hands of extremists. No chance at all. We have very strong custodial control. There's no chance at all. Our relationship with North Korea, it's a story of the past. That is not the truth. We have not exchanged. We have not handed over any nuclear expertise to them. But however, that is a story of the past, and we've closed that chapter.
All right. President Musharraf, thank you so much for speaking to us.
And thank you very much.
We spoke with Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf earlier today at the Four Seasons Hotel in Washington, D.C.